Good morning and welcome to a Monday Food for Thought program here on KKCQ. It's time for another MCCL update, and Eileen Hegg, nice enough to join us in the studio. Nice to see you as always.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
I know you're going to share a lot of concerns you have in regard to abortion. Of course, we have a big election coming up tomorrow, so hopefully we have a lot of people get out and vote tomorrow.
We sure hope so.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to say our local chapter, our MCCL chapter, is so appreciative of the opportunity you've given us and your listeners to hear about the side of abortion they might not hear very often. So thank you very much for letting us share.
You're more than welcome.
So who are we, and what is Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life? We're an organization that's been in existence for over 50 years, since 1968, shortly before the Roe versus Wade decision was made by the Supreme Court. We're concerned for the women who are tragically affected by an unwanted pregnancy. We're concerned for the little children who are the innocent tragedies of the circumstance of choice. We're concerned for the elderly, the infirm, and the disabled. We've been a voice for those who have no voice. So why am I personally pro-life? Well, I'm pro-life because I'm pro-woman. I've got 7 daughters, 13 granddaughters, and 1 great-granddaughter. I want them to be protected from the horror of abortion and all its after effects. I want them to be cherished and loved for who they are and not for how they could be used for personal satisfaction or gain. I have 7 sons-in-law, 15 grandsons, and I want them to love the women they're involved with and treat them with respect and care. I don't want them to ever consider aborting a child they may conceive, regardless of the situation at the time. Women too often find themselves in difficult situations where they've become pregnant and possibly single. Maybe they're alone and poor. 75% of women surveyed by the Guttmacher Institute found women who had had an abortion were poor or low income. Another sad fact is that women in 64% of all cases say they felt pressured to have an abortion. The highest percentage of abortions are for women between the ages of 20 and 24. At that age, they're concerned about school, how an abortion would affect their relationships with boyfriends or even husbands, and also, how would they support themselves and a baby? 54% of women reported they simply did not want a child at this time. So, tragically, it has basically been used as birth control in 54% of abortions. In the last 50 years, women have been indoctrinated into believing that abortion is fast and painless and it'll solve all their problems immediately, and they can go on with life uninterrupted. The sad truth is, women who've had abortions can suffer for years with guilt and the heartache of killing their unborn children. Depression and despair are common. Consequently, there are increased risk for suicide, especially those below 25 years of age. And teenagers are especially vulnerable. Another thing, women who've had an abortion are more likely to face future pregnancy problems like ectopic pregnancies, infertility, hysterectomy, stillbirth, miscarriage, and premature birth. There are studies that show women are more at risk for breast cancer after an abortion. The physical complications from abortion far surpass those from a natural birth. There can be perforation of the uterus, hemorrhaging, cardiac arrest, ectopic shock, major unintended surgery, infection, convulsions, and even an undiagnosed ectopic pregnancy, cervical laceration, uterine rupture, and even death. When women become pregnant, They are often emotionally affected by hormones. What they need most at this critical time are patient, kind, caring people around them who will help them assess the situation, help them out of panic mode, and find some solutions to their immediate concerns. I personally would want my 28 grandchildren to be surrounded by people who love life. Excuse me. And all the wonderful ways we're rewarded by choosing life at all stages. I don't want them to endure any of this. Over the past 50 years, pregnancy resource centers have cropped up all across the country to help women who are alone or being pressured into having an abortion. There are over 100 pregnancy resource centers in Minnesota, and there are another 2,700 operating across the country. These pregnancy centers are run mostly by volunteers and supporters who want to care for the women and their babies. They provide counseling, ultrasounds, options, with education for both mom and dad. They provide baby items for newborns, and they continue to help the parents even after the child is born. They're truly the place that offers choice. You would think that the women and the men who are so vocal about a woman's right to choose would welcome and support these centers. But unfortunately, it's not so. Ever since the Roe v. Wade decision was overturned by the Supreme Court this summer and sent back to the states to pass their own laws, dozens of pregnancy resource centers, churches, and pro-life volunteers have been brutally attacked by violent, militant abortion advocate groups. They call it the Summer of Rage. Not only are they burning down churches and resource centers and pro-life groups' offices, they've called for the murder of pro-life judges, lawmakers, and pro-life protesters. Their graffiti says, "If abortion isn't safe, then neither are you." Unbelievably, after nearly 100 arrests in those cases, no charges have been made. Not even one. If people were really concerned about offering women choice, why would they want to shut down pregnancy resource centers? Many of our lawmakers in government are part of the pro-abortion narrative. Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, has called pregnancy centers dangerous. "We need to shut them down all across the country," she said. And she's recently introduced a bill that would empower an unelected regulatory board to impose huge fines on pregnancy centers that make them what they refer to as misleading statements, like referring to a fetus as a baby or a pregnant woman as a mother. This chilling crackdown on free speech, if allowed, would almost immediately destroy the work of these life-affirming centers, and most likely close them down. Tom, you've been interviewed, or you have interviewed, at least a couple of times, mm-hmm. people from our local pregnancy resource centers. You know, and your listeners know, how much these pregnancy centers have helped people in our area. In contrast to the pregnancy centers, when a pregnant girl or woman goes to Planned Parenthood facility, they don't hear much information about choice. Women are told their child is just a blob of tissue and the procedure will be over quickly. There'll be no harm done. In fact, Planned Parenthood organizations pressure their employees to meet abortion quotas, so their focus is not on the woman or her unborn child. And even more grisly, the abortion industry is killing precious unborn babies to sell their organs. The abortionist carefully preserves the organs of a preborn child and sells it to the highest bidder. And universities across the country are teaching abortion techniques and how to salvage organs. So if this baby is just a blob of tissue, how can they have valuable organs to sell? The abortion industry is focused on making money. This fact has been told repeatedly by by many people who have previously worked at those facilities. The movie Unplanned tells the story in great detail. So let's follow the money to discover why the resource centers and pro-life laws are so terribly dangerous. Well, Planned Parenthood has committed $50 million in this election year to influence voters. It's no wonder. Their recent annual report showed they are putting to death 1,050 preborn boys and girls each and every day. They're raking in $1.7 billion from their taxpayer-funded bloody business, and a big chunk goes to pro-abortion politicians. Extremist allies in the Democrat Party, from the White House to Congress to even the state executive offices, are trying to overturn every common sense law in the country that protects the mother and the baby, and very much so in our own state of Minnesota. Recently, a Minnesota Ramsey District Judge, Thomas Gilligan, ruled we no longer have the woman's right to know, which ensures consent before abortion. No more parental notification laws, notification of parents prior to an abortion on a minor, that's not allowed anymore. And now there is no law preventing non-physicians from performing abortions. These are all laws that have been protecting women for several years in Minnesota. Right now in Minnesota, we have abortion on demand for all 9 months of pregnancy, regardless of whether a child could live outside the womb on its own. 46% of the abortions in Minnesota are paid by taxpayers. That's $10,000 yearly. 61% of abortions were drug-induced abortions, and that's scary. Abortion drugs can be received through the mail with no supervision or medical examination. Since the Roe decision, this number continues to increase, and it's very dangerous because there's no medical provider involved in the process, and so no protection for women. They could be all alone in an apartment. Our Minnesota Governor Walz has said, "Let me make something abundantly clear for all Minnesotans. There will never be an abortion ban under my watch. The right to an abortion will be respected in Minnesota for as long as I am in office." Others included in the promotion of abortion are corporate America, our education institutions, leftist members of the news media, not Tom and our local radio station, and the social media censorship crew. They think they have the answers to how the rest of us should live. Indoctrination goes far and wide and covers most information sources. The right to life is sacrosanct and given us by God in our Constitution. It is the right upon which all other human rights stand. When it's removed, all the other rights fall to the wayside. And sadly, we are seeing many human rights being ignored, like freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom from unlawful search and seizure. Tomorrow is our chance to preserve our freedoms, and I hope and pray people will vote to protect the babies, the future of a country, and the rest of our individual freedoms. And I thank you again, Tom, and your radio station, for letting me share my views about why I am passionate about pro-life issues.
You've all done a great job with this topic, and we've all often discussed the emotional and you covered the physical aspect of abortion very well. But the father, too, and we talked about that previously and what goes through the father's mind.
It's really unfortunate that our young men pressure sometimes women, and even sometimes they would like to keep the child.
Yes, yes.
But they cannot.
Yeah. Hmm. I did the math. 28 grandchildren.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah. We enjoy them so much.
I bet you do. Well, thank you for stopping by, Eileen. Anything else to share?
The only other thing, I guess, would be that our local chapter meets monthly. We have 150 members, and I have 110 of them on my email list that I send updates for things that I find out. And I also send them copies of our minutes and what our agendas will be. And if anyone would like to join our chapter that's as passionate as we are, they can call me, Eileen Haig. I'm in Macintosh. I'm in the book. And they can email me, EileenH@gvtel.com.
Eileen Haig, thank you very much for joining us on Food for Thought. You have a nice rest of your day.
Thank you, Tom. Same to you.
Eileen Haig, our guest on Food for Thought with an MCCL update here on KKCQ.